In so many ways, lived experience brings young Black and brown Americans together. But for the characters in J.M. Holmes' collection of short stories, How Are You Going to Save Yourself?, changing fortunes threaten to tear them apart. On this episode of Created Equal, my conversation with author J.M. Holmes.
It was founded on the principle,
we hold these truths to be self-evident,
that all men are created equal.
That all men are created equal.
All men are created equal.
I want to give you a chance to talk about the moment that we're experiencing here right now in America, this massive wave of protest against police brutality in the sort of literal objection, but also in context, the entire history of systemic racism and inequality in America. Work like yours seems to speak really strongly to this moment. It always kind of seems to reflect or capture or maybe forecast the kind of things that we're going to experience. But I wonder what you make of what we're seeing and the influence perhaps of literature and art on the protest movement for Black liberation.
Oh, wow. That's a...
It's a big question, right?
Yeah, it's a huge question. But, you know, obviously I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it. I think it's important to talk about it and be in dialogue with other creatives and other people, part of the media such as yourself. I think in general, a lot of the feelings, you know, they echo back, you know, generations. But for me, I guess my first conceptual feeling of it was my dad kind of explaining who Rodney King was to me, because I was two when Rodney King happened.
Okay. Wow.
But my father, obviously, he had a very, you know, strong reaction, as a lot of Black Americans and white Americans had about Rodney King. And you know, that was part of his talk and his lecture to me about, you know, the police aren't always your friends. And he, you know, he was a professional athlete, and so he was kind of moderate in a way, I guess, as, like, you know, O.J. Simpson famously said, I'm not Black, I'm O.J. And I think my dad had a little bit of that, but also knew the reality because, you know, later in his life he was in and out of the prison system. So he had a very complex worldview when it came to that stuff. But yeah, for me, you know, my first real experience with it was, well, aside from my own run-ins with police, but in terms of a societal experience with it, obviously, was Trayvon Martin and then Michael Brown and the rise of BLM then, and a lot of people, white people especially, didn't really take notice of it then in 2014, 2015. I think this time around, it's been a much different reaction, and it's, for me anyway, it seems like it could be a much more positive reaction, but I'm weary to say that just yet, because I know as things tend to go in this country, the social justice win changes a lot. I would say people get a fervor for something, you know, and then it's gone, sadly. And I think for creatives, it's never gone for us. And you know, that's the odd thing, is when you're working on, whether it's a collection or a novel or, you know, I'm sure for visual artists, you know, whatever medium you're working in, it's a lot of time committed to something, and it spans the blowing and changing winds of social justice. So I was working on that collection for 6 years, you know, and it came out pretty much when the Me Too movement was at its height and at its peak. And I think, obviously the book doesn't speak to that in a real way and in an important way. And I think for that reason, it wasn't really a part of the conversation, which I think the social justice initiative is always more important than, in many ways, to me anyway, than the art itself. And so I was okay with that. And it's odd now that, you know, I went from having you know, no phone calls for like 4 months to like my phone doesn't stop ringing. I'm glad that this conversation is starting to be on the consciousness in the forefront of a lot of Americans' minds. But I think for creatives, we kind of just, we don't get too caught up in necessarily the specific moment, because for us, it's something that we live with and explore and, you know, work with or work against for a lot of our careers. And that's just like what you need to do the work.
I feel often like literature and art is a reminder of the constancy of these issues, that they are always with us as Black Americans, especially the things that we experience, the way that it shapes our lives. It doesn't go away the way protest movements ebb and flow. I mean, if you look at your stories and the things that they reflect about the reality of being Black in America, they're not fundamentally different from what Ralph Ellison was writing about almost 70 years ago. They're not fundamentally different from what James Baldwin was writing about a little later in the 50s and 60s. This is a constant thread throughout American history and American lives. And every once in a while, I feel like the culture turns back to that subject or flares up around that subject. But the art is always sort of influenced by it and reflective of it.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you, and I would say that this is another moment and another stretch of time where Black American writers, our work is being reexamined and kind of taken seriously again. But I would say that for, you know, a general white audience, I think they don't like to go here very often. And so when we have their attention, we want to say all that we can in that moment. And I wish it wasn't that way, but that's the way I feel anyway, as a writer and in my short career so far. I feel like their racial attention span is short. And so when we have these large cultural moments, you know, flare up. So when we have these kind of, you know, brutal news focus, we have to use our time wisely. And again, I wish it wasn't that way, but that's the conversation for us, as you mentioned, you know, it never stops. But when we have the wider attention of the general public, I think we feel, at least I feel, an anxiety to get it all in and move the needle. I hope we can move it this time.
After a short break, more of my conversation with J.M. Holmes, author of How Are You Going to Save Yourself? You know, in your book, one of the main characters, Gio, has an Italian mother and a Black father. And there's a particularly memorable scene in the book where Gio is confronted with a racist member of his family on his mom's side. And that kind of echoes a lot of the things that I think we see people dealing with right now. But in a larger sense, I think one of the themes you're dealing with there is that sense of straddled identity that so many African Americans have to contend with as well, that you are a member of one group, but you are also either assigned membership in another group or inheriting membership in another group that may not quite square with your identity as an African American.
Yeah, I think a lot of African American authors, I feel like a lot of their books deal with the assigned identity versus the asserted self identity. Mm-hmm. And definitely that story out of my collection, and you know, a few others in the collection, definitely talk about that straddling, that resisting the external definitions that are placed upon us as Black Americans, because so often they're not generous. They're not bestowed upon us lovingly, if you will. They're not an attempt to understand or to compliment us. A lot of times they're bestowed upon us to categorize us so that we make sense to an American public that doesn't deal well with ambiguity. But yeah, you always have this idea of the color line in this country, and it's shifted over time, and obviously, and it's kind of shifted completely off of Black Americans for a time. You know, you think about after 9/11, it shifted to, for, you know, the first time ever in America's history, we were not public enemy number one.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think about the way that, you know, shadism and colorism affects all that and the identities that are bestowed upon us. We, you know, especially as creative individuals, you really spend a lot of time thinking about who you are as a person and how you can assert that to contend with, you know, the public perception of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Before I have to let you go, I'm going to ask you the question I ask all authors. It's my favorite question for authors, which is, what's next? What are you working on?
Well,
I know it's author's least favorite question, right?
Yeah, you know, I feel like I've been talking about the novel I've been working on for Little Brown. So yeah, I owe them a novel, but I feel like the more I talk about it,
the less likely it is to get done.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, I'm very superstitious when it comes to that. I remember, you know, when I got the book deal for the collection, I just didn't say like a word about it until it was on the shelf because I just still didn't feel like it was going to happen. But the novel is very different. It's a dystopian novel about mixed race brothers who come out looking different and therefore they fall on different sides of the color line. And there's, you know, white supremacist groups. There's counterintelligence. There's a bunch of private security. There's a water crisis. And it all takes place in Milwaukee. So.
Wow. That sounds fantastic. I can't wait to see
well,
that.
I hope it gets done.
Yeah. Right. I think all writers can relate to that to that conundrum. That was my conversation with author J.M. Holmes, who wrote the collection of short stories titled How Are You Going to Save Yourself? On the next episode of Created Equal, my conversation with Emerson College professor Gerald Walker, author of How to Make a Slave and Other Essays.
Everybody gets uptight when it's time to talk about race. And people go into their corners and they wrap themselves too tightly in their own point of view on these things. And I think that humor is, it may in fact be the only venue to have these really difficult discussions.
Created Equal is a production of WDET, Detroit's NPR station. Our executive producer is Joan Cherry Isabella. Our producers are Jake Neer, Anna Marie Seisling, and Claire Brennan. Our sound engineers are Matt Trevethan and Rowan Niamisto. Our composer and senior editor is Sam Bobian. And our social media and digital assets are done by Maida Stange and Tony Brown. I'm your host, Stephen Henderson.